Good morning, 8:59 a.m., just a minute before 9 o'clock on Friday, December 14th, 2012. I'm having a bad morning. I found out that my daughter's graduation is not Friday as originally scheduled, expected. It's Saturday, and it's not in the morning. It's 2 in the afternoon. So that means no Balticon. At least not for me this year. And to have to say no Balticon is gut-wrenching. I'm so distraught, I don't even know where to begin. On the one hand, I'm pleased, I'm glad, I hope she actually does graduate, because if I've canceled Balticon, and I've written to Paul and let him know, tell the committee, that I'm not going to attend this year because of high school graduation. If she actually fails to graduate, I'm not going to cancel Balticon next year. You know, it's this year, or do it on your own, kid. Which is, of course, so much hyperbole. Of course, I will cancel Balticon next year if she doesn't graduate. If she dubs around long enough, we can do two at once, because her younger sister will be graduating soon as well. So, yeah. Peeved. Exceptionally peeved. Really beyond peeved. I don't know, into what? On top of everything else, I was really looking for Balticon this year. And no, that doesn't mean I can do Dragon Con, it doesn't mean I can do anything else, it just means I can't do Balticon. So there's very little upside to this, other than I get to attend my daughter's high school graduation, a kind of once-in-a-lifetime opportunity, something that will mean a lot, I hope, something that will mean a lot to her, a milestone for her, and we'll go on, we'll try to do Balticon next year. So, I've had a lot of feedback on the comments from Oops. Some great stuff coming back. Some stuff I don't necessarily agree with. The one that gets me all the time is the Star Speckled Deep Dark. Because, actually, that's not a typo. It's not Star Speckled. It's Star Speckled. And the reason is that in the deep dark, the stars look layered on, like with a putty knife. There's layers and layers of them. There's stars everywhere. It's not like Star Speckled, where there's one every once in a while. It's not like, it's actually not really like it's Star Studded, where there are a few really bright ones, and then the background is really dark. Except for some edge kinds of activities. Most of it isn't really that dark. But I've had, I don't know, I want to say 20 or 30 comments on Star Speckled as a typo. So obviously my imagery isn't working there, so I pulled it. It's one of those, okay, well, it works for me, it makes perfect sense to me, but obviously it's enough to throw people out of the story, which is not really the goal. So, if the imagery isn't working, then learn a lesson and move on, I guess. Also, I've been working with Anita on formatting. There's this thing with the HTML paragraph break. It drives me crazy. And the paragraph breaker in HTML puts a blank line between blocked paragraphs. But in an ebook, it needs to be blocked paragraph with no blank line, with indented paragraphs following the first. So first one, no indent. Second one, and subsequent paragraphs indented. I think technically after a section break, they're not supposed to be indented either, but I don't mess with those. But the paragraph heading, yeah, that's not supposed to be indented. It's really where you put the drop cap if you're going to do one. And I probably should do one. I could. I have the technology. I know how it works. But a drop cap is a problem just because of the scalability and the nature of the scalability of the screen devices. It makes it difficult to plot exactly how big or where that thing is going to be. And on some smaller screens, drop cap gets really in the way fast. And there's no way to detect to put a drop cap if it's a big screen and not a drop cap if it's a small screen. Within an ebook, with a web page you can, but in an ebook you can't do it. So, you know, kind of a problem. A bit of a pain. But, so I don't do drop caps, but I do that first paragraph and don't indent thing. Because it looks right, and it is right. Fussing with my microphone here a minute. Turns out the microphone is not actually in the foam, which makes it hard to predict. Okay, sorry about that. So, yeah, Sean has been sending me long lists of typos in the comments on TMO, on the Talking on My Morning Walk podcast site. That's good. The Oops post. It's a good place to put them. I do check those more frequently than I do in the other place, just because it's a daily thing with the podcast. And there's been some good ones there. I found stuff that I've been reminded that I wanted to fix and forgot. I found stuff that the thing that he highlighted wasn't the problem. The thing that he highlighted was the symptom of what the larger problem was. I found a couple of those. Those are pretty cool. And I fixed some of those. And I just posted a new file for the 14th. And we'll see what else happens. He says he'll have them all to me from his list tomorrow. So I'll have to do one more publishing. I've sold like 13, 14 copies. All of you crazy people who've run out and bought them, thank you very much. On the grand scheme of things, I really don't expect people to buy these books until the next book comes out and they find out about the Solar Clipper series for the first time. So this is a good time for me to fix and patch and poke. I get half share posted today. But anyway, back to Anita. The formatting issue on blank line between paragraphs. It's one of those little detail niggly things that bothers me an awful lot. When I see it in a book, it's like, all right, this is a web page. This is a pain. And it is largely because I'm quite frequently reading on a very small screen. And so if you have short paragraphs or if you have dialogue, you get three lines of dialogue on the screen because all the blank lines in between. And it's very hard. It's very off-putting. It's like, oh, come on. Format it right. Format it like an ebook. Don't format it like a web page. So she works on a couple different readers. One of them that she has is called Cool Reader. And Cool Reader, for some reason, puts a new page break after each paragraph. And she's been trying to figure out how to deal with that. Turns out if she takes an EPUB file, runs it through Calibre, saves it again, without making any other changes, Calibre does something that keeps it from putting a new paragraph, a new page after every paragraph. Now she sent me one of those converted files and I looked it over and I really don't see anything. It's in that style sheet that Calibre could be doing that would prevent what she's reporting. So it has to be some sort of odd interaction with Cool Reader versus the Calibre EPUB style sheet and the standard EPUB style sheet. But one of the problems that she reported was that The technique that I used to suppress the blank line between paragraphs, which was to insert in a style sheet a bottom margin of minus one line, which is minus one M, which is one line height, which represents the vertical distance of the blank line. And what that does is that it takes the blank line off the bottom of the paragraph. Well, yeah, except that on her cool reader, that doesn't put the paragraph, it doesn't put the blank line in to begin with. And so the bottom lines and the top lines merge together on that device, which is actually the first I've really heard of it. I've seen it happen a couple of times, but usually because the CSS was messed up. And I haven't really seen it occur anywhere else. But I did take a lesson, and I do display each paragraph now as an individual block with no margin, no footer, no padding, no border. And that way there's no blank line to go to suppress. Each paragraph falls onto the page as an individual display block, and there's no blank line to get rid of, which is an elegant solution and which should solve all of those pesky end-of-line problems. It doesn't solve any of the inheritance issues on the original Kindle device problems, the italic and bold, which should be inherited but aren't. Now, she did remind me that I had a solution for that that I forgot to implement. It's one of the liabilities of working on something really intently and then putting it away for like 5 weeks, because you forget what you did. And that was to declare a style called italic, which I would then apply using a span tag in the HTML of the document, which does in fact do exactly what it's supposed to do. It just sets the font to italic without changing it. And inherits all of the parents' font characteristics. So if you've got the font set to something, it will stay the same size. But all I did was go into the style sheet and tell italic, bold, and anchor text, this is a HTML link text, to be standard size. I just explicitly declared it as standard size, and that cleared it up. And I was like, really? Seriously? These devices don't inherit the way they're supposed to. They don't inherit the characteristics. They don't inherit the properties correctly. It's kind of a pain in the butt, but hey, it works. So the new versions have the new style sheet. Half-Share will benefit from all of this crap, by the way, because Half-Share will be that much cleaner and that much easier to deal with. I've got a first draft of that file, I think, ready to go. The difficulty has pretty much been cleared up. I don't see anything that's problematic with them anymore. What I need to do is publish it so that everybody can tell me where all the typos are, I guess. Now, given that when we did Zephyr's call, I had four copy editors. Of the four copy editors, they turned in an aggregated total of approximately 900 individual typos. And there was only about 40 to 50% overlap. So of the 300 that one person sent in, the next person sent in another 300. There would be 150 of them in common. But between them, there would be 300 unique. So there's only about 40 to 50% overlap, and there's still more errors because I'm still finding errors. I still see errors. People still email me with errors. So I'm pretty sure that we're not going to have all the errors out of QuarterShare even after having been through 20 passes of editing, even though all of the eyes that have been through it have been through it. That's not going to be the case. We're going to continue to see typos crop up as we go along. That's just the nature of the beast. You can't guarantee. It's like computer code. You can't guarantee that there are no bugs. You can only certify that you haven't found any. But the ones that you found, you fixed. And of course, in fixing bugs, it's not uncommon to introduce new ones, which is pretty much what happens with buy-in and grav pallet. At some point, I replaced grav pallet. I've replaced buy-in, two words, buy-in, with grav pallet, two words. And I really don't know why, I don't know how, but it got replaced three times in the document. I found those and fixed them. I know what was what led up to it, and that was that Dyslexic Wombat had took issue with a hyphenated grav pallet, hyphenated grav, whatever. There were several of them. And I wanted it to be one word. Ryden wanted it to be hyphenated. He wants them to be two words. Two words actually makes more sense, I think. And looking at it from the long view, I think two words makes more sense. So I went through and fixed them, and unfortunately managed to mung up buy-in at some point. I thought I was being pretty careful, but obviously not as careful as I thought. Yeah, it happens. So I've probably introduced more typos as I've gone along, but for the most part, I think we're doing pretty well. Each new filing is a little more accurate. The comma placement is one that's very curious. Sean's pointed out a bunch of places where the commas are wrong, and they are. There's no question about it. And I know they're wrong. If I look at the sentence, I see they're wrong. But for some reason, when doing the book, I didn't see them. So I'm not quite sure what the problem there is, if it's blindness on my part or cataracts or something, but yes. And for the most part, those commas are really out of place. I'm sort of surprised that some of the other people haven't pointed them out, but the proofing process for these backstories hasn't been as rigorous as it has been going forward. So that's one of the ongoing issues. But all things considered, I think it's gone pretty well. I'm particularly pleased that we haven't sold too many bad copies, and that the reception among those of you who found them have been quite positive. So I'm looking forward to finishing this backlist process up and getting some new content out. I have a suspicion that we're going to get South Coast out before Rob gets done with Captain Share. I'm not sure. Not sure what his schedule looks like. But I know he's doing a really excellent, detailed job of vetting that text. And Anita's looking for something new to read, too, so I'll probably send her off a book, something like South Coast, for her to sink her teeth in. It's been fun working with Anita on the technical issues. She's very quite knowledgeable, quite savvy, and has been a wonderful resource for me. It's been great fun. Now, I don't know what she said, but Endomondo was talking to me. I must have crossed 2 miles. In which case, I must have reached the back gate, which of course is exactly the case. And the point where I say, tomorrow is another day. And with any luck, I'll talk to you then.